Okay, we'll start the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Hei Amud Bet. So the Mishnah here is discussing, as we every time we come to a Mishnah now in the Perek, we have to think about this issue, which is, this. What does this refer to, right? Because the statement of Rav Papa before, who says that the original two Mishnayot refer to both a Choker and an Aris. So over here, it's clearly we're talking about, you're going to see in a second, a Choker. So I'm a kabel sadeh mechavero, someone who accepts a field from his friend, bachla chagav, and it was consumed by locusts, or nishtefa, or it was blown away, dried out. Immakat medinahi, if it's something that affected everyone, I mean it wasn't unique or particular to this field, de menachalo min chikuro, he can reduce the fixed payment that he has to make to him. So again, obviously this is true by a choker, because by an aris, there's no reason to reduce the amount because they both share in the pain. I mean, it's a percentage of the production. So if there is no production, there is no payment. If it's reduced production, then the percentage reflects the reduced production. On the other hand, if you're a choker and you're paying a fixed amount out of the field, if there's a problem with the production, then you are carrying disproportionate burden of that because, right, you are still paying your fixed amount despite the lower production of the field. So this is talking about a choker. Now, imenu makat medina, on the other hand, if it's not something that affects everyone, emenachalo min chikuro, then he cannot reduce the fee that he is going to pay, because then, as we said before, that he can claim this was his bad mazel that caused the problem. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im kiblah emenu bema'ot, if he got it from him, meaning that he's agreed to pay him monetary compensation. So as opposed to an aris, who's paying a percentage of the production of the field, a choker is paying a fixed amount, but a fixed amount of produce, not of cash. Here we're talking about a case of a person who's paying a fixed cash amount for each year. Then, ben kach u ben kach emenech lo michikuro. So this is the position of Rabbi Yehuda, that if he's paying in cash, he does not deduct from the rate, because cash is not subject to any of these problems. If you're paying in cash, cash is not exposed to the vagaries of nature in this sense, and but therefore it would not be included under the, or won't make a difference whether it's makat midah or not, it's all your bad mazel. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda learns. We'll see in the Gemara about that position of Rabbi Yehuda. I'll just remind you here about the position that Tosos mentioned earlier, which is by the Mishnah of Mayan. You remember by Yavesh HaMayan, when the person takes a field and has a spring in it, and then the spring disappears, right there, the Gemara says, that's one of the first two Mishnayot that Rav Papa says applies to a choker and to an aris, right? If the Mayan dries out, he's allowed to deduct from the amount, because that's what they agreed to. If he says Mayan Zu, if he says this field with this Mayan in it, he's allowed to deduct it over there. So now the question Tosus asks over there, how's that different than our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says it only applies to a choker, and the Mishnah over there says it applies to a choker and to a kablan. It applies also to an aris. So how come by the aris, by the Mayan, is allowed to reduce his percentage fee, yet over here he's not allowed to reduce if there's some sort of makat medina, there's locusts and all that? So Tosus explained back on Kuf Gimel Bet, Tosus differentiates between the cases. When it comes to a particular item that is pointed out by the person who's working the field, for instance, where he demands that there be a spring there, then when he prices it based on that item being there, because he's pointing out that particular item. And therefore, if that item disappears, he can reduce his fee or the rate. On the other hand, when it comes to, I would call them normal risks, even though these are, right, natural disasters or things that are outside of the control, but this is the normal risk assumed by an individual who works the field. And therefore, it's always included in the price. And if something happens, you can't say, oh, this is when I didn't consider this in the price. No, this is normal assumption of risk. Normal assumption of risk is included in the price. So just a note, because the Tosus we mentioned back on the Mishnah here, he was referencing or asked a question on this Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know, Hey chidami makat medina. What is the case of a makat medina? How do you determine when it's moved from being a problem for this individual field versus when it becomes a problem that's a more generic problem or a general problem? So I'm a Rav Yehuda, kagon de ishtuf ruba de baga. That's only when the rove of the baga, Rashi interprets rove baga as being rove habik'ah, the rove of the valley, or the plain in which this individual is found. If the rove of that has dried out, then it's considered a makat medina. The Rambam, on the other hand, says rove ruba de baga means the rove of the city, rove ha'ir. I mean, the determination is by the city or the locale which you're in, then the rove has to be based on that. Rashi seems to narrow it to the area in which you were planting. Ula says, no. Kegon shenishdatfu Arba Satot Mi Abaru Chuta. It has to do with the four fields surrounding the field that's him. If every side of his field has the same problem, then it's obvious it's a Makat Medina. It's not unique to his field. If it was unique to his field, then the other field should not have been affected. So you can't claim that it's his bad mazel. If so every field around him is affected, then that's already considered a Makat Medina according to Ula. So now, Amar Ula. Ula says, Bo b'marova. In Eretz Yisrael, they asked the question, Nishtav telem echad al p'nei kula. What happens if it was his field that was affected, and then one row of every field around him was affected, then nothing else? Or there was a gap, and there was nothing around him, and then it continued afterwards. Does it? When we say that it has to be around his field, that how much of the fields around him have to be affected? If there's just a small portion of the fields around him affected, is that already come a makat medina? Right? Or, my, what's the din there? Or the other way, nishtayar telam echad al pnei kula mahu. What happens if there's one row around his whole field that was not affected, but everything beyond that was affected? Do we consider that one row that's there to be a hefsek and to say that it is now his problem, it's his mazel? Or do we say, no, that one row that's left there, that's a yotzei charig, that's an exception, but the makah, you clearly see the rest of the fields were affected outside of that. So how exacting are we in terms of saying that the four fields around him are affected over here? Now, next, the Gemara proceeds, ifsika bira. What happens if the four fields around him were not planted? They were left empty. They were left untouched. So now, is that considered my? Is that considered a hefsek? And therefore, they could say, listen, your field was affected and the fields around it weren't affected. Or can he answer back? Listen, if they had planted, they'd have also been affected. It's a fact they didn't plant it. So Gemara then takes that stage. Well, okay, fine. Say if they had planted, it would have been a problem. What about asafsata? Asafsata is like grass or hay that's planted for animal feed. My, what's the din? If they planted animal feed in the fields around this field, and they were not affected. So what can he say? He can say, listen, look, if it was going to affect all the fields, it should have affected the ones with the grass also. Or can the individuals planting the fields say, listen, if they had planted wheat or barley like I did, they would have been affected. The fact is they planted hay, which was a different crop. So where was my? Zera acher. What happens if they planted a different crop? So it wasn't grass, you know, or hay versus a regular crop. It was this two different crops that were planted in the adjacent fields. So his field had something, and then the adjacent fields has a different crop over there. So again, my, what's the din there? If those fields were not affected, do we call that a hefsek? And it's not. Or can he argue again? Had they planted the same crop as me, it would have been fine. And also now next, the Gemara says, right, imtim salomar. Again, if you say, the Gemara went like this, if you say that asaf sata is not a break, then what happens if he plants another crop? Now, if he doesn't plant, if we consider another crop to be okay, and that's not a hefsek, then what about chite legabe sorim? What about wheat versus barley? Say he planted wheat, and all the fields around him planted barley. The barley fields were not affected, his wheat field was affected. Do we consider that kizera cherdami? Is that considered like another crop? Olo, or not? Meaning that, is how, when you define a different crop, is it defined by an exact species, like barley versus wheat, or do we say that those are both grains? If they're both grains, that's sufficient to be considered one crop. So the Gemara says, what do we do there? Now, what happens? Kol olam kulo b'shidafon. The rest of the world's crops were destroyed by dryness. B'shelo b'yirakon, and his withered. Inami kol olam kulo b'yirakon. Everyone else is withered. B'shelo b'shidafon, and his was dried out. My, what's the din here? So everybody was affected, but what affected them, or the issues that affected them, were different. The Gemara says, teiku. And all these questions, the Gemara leaves as a teiku, an unanswered question about how to define in Ula that the adjacent fields are the determining factor for whether it's kol olam makat midin. Not more leaves as a take all these issues along the way about what classifies it as a makat medina. Right now, the Gemara is going to go through a series of questions where there is a discussion between the choker and the machkir, between the individual who planted the field and the individual who owns the field. So the first one is Amale Zarachiti. The owner says, plant wheat. Va'azohu v'zarasare. He did not listen to him and he planted barley. V'dishtadaf. And then what happens? It gets dried out. But not only was his dried up, but it was Ruba de Bago, right? That he said, Ishtodof Ruba Bago, the area all around him got dried out. Vishtodof Nami Harachsari Dile. His barley also got dried out. So everything got dried out. Now, he did not follow the instructions of the Baalim, but nevertheless, the Makat Medina affected everyone around him. My, what's the din? Mi Amrinan, do we say, the Amarle Ilu Zarata Chite, had you planted it wheat? Havinami mishtadfa. The choker can say, listen, if I planted it wheat, it would have dried out. What's the difference if it was barley or wheat? Everybody else who planted wheat dried out. So why, if I planted wheat over here, why should it make a difference? Odilma. Matzi amale. Or maybe the individual can respond to him, the machkir, the owner of the land, can respond. Ilu zarata chiti. Had you planted it wheat, have a mekayim bi. It would have been, like, for me. This is a pasuk from Iyov, which says, v'tigzar omer v'yakam lach. So it talks about there in Iyov, actually the pasuk before happens to be about tefillah. And before that, it talks about an individual who's close with Hashem, that Hashem responds to their will or to their, right, their needs. So the pasuk before says, when they daven, when they pray, Hashem responds. And this pasuk says, v'tigzar omer, when they make requests, right, v'yakam lach, Hashem fulfills their requests. So what does he say to him? The Baal of the Sadeh, the owner of the Sadeh, says, at the beginning of the year, I davened that my wheat should be successful. And had you planted wheat, it would have been fine. Hashem would have saved my wheat, because that's what I davened for, wheat. But now you went ahead and planted barley, that's not what I davened for. Since I didn't daven for barley, I wasn't protected. Had you planted what I davened for, everything would have been fine. So then the Gemara says, Mistavro, makes sense. The logical conclusion of this case should be, Damalei yizar, te'achite yavim kayim bebe tigzar, omer v'yakim lach. Which is actually the end of the pasuk, and on your ways Hashem shines light. I mean that we do make this argument. In this type of case, the fact that the choker changed what the balim asked them to do, therefore they don't get a deduction, or they don't get the ptur of makat medina, even though everybody else around them was hurt, because this person can say, my davening would have made a difference. And since my davening would have made a difference, right, then we can't, we don't say, you know, go ahead and you plan whatever you want, and would have been affected makat medina, you're patur. No, in this case, you'll be chayav, despite the fact that there was a makat medina. Tosfos later on, we'll see this in the Gemara later on, points out that it has to be only when there's a particular crop. I mean, that if you only can answer where the person says, I daven for wheat, and instead he planted barley. We don't say that in generally, I daven for success, right? And had you listened to me, I would have had that success. No, it has to be that he asked for a particular item, and he's focused on a unique item, and the person planted something different. So now, second case. Here's a new case. Nishtadfu kol sdotav shel machkir. What happens if all of the owner's fields dried out? Not just this field that he had given out as a sharecropper or paid. Here, it's a fixed payee, of course. Right? Ishtodof namiha behadayu. And this field went with it. Velo ishtodof ruvo debaga. But the rest of the fields around them, nobody was affected. The rest of the city, right? It wasn't a general problem. It was a problem in this individual's fields. But this is the owner's fields. My. What's the din here? Mi'am Miran came to Lishtodof Ruba Debago, since the rest of the world wasn't affected, lo manchile. He doesn't get a deduction, because the only time he's entitled to a deduction, the Mishnah says, is when everybody else is affected. O Dilma, maybe you can say, came to Lishtodof Kulhu Arate, since this affected, the plague or the dryness or the problem affected this one individual, Matsyamale, Hai Mishum Latachti Dachu. It's your bad mazel. I mean, if it wasn't your bad mazel, then other people's fields would have been affected, or not all your fields. The fact that all your fields are particularly affected sounds it's like your bad mazel. So the Ha Mishtavu Koso Dotecha, all your fields got dried out. So of course it's your bad mazel. The Gemara says it's unbelievable. The Gemara says Mistavra. And the Amarle, that you can say here, Imishum Latai Didi, if it was my bad mazel, have a Mishtarle Purta. Hashem would have left me something. Meaning that if it was really my bad mazel, Hashem would have left some little piece for me. When the people come to Yirmiyahu after all the bad things that have happened, and there's only a small amount of people coming back to Yirmiyahu and asking what to do, it says, there was a little of us left from the many. So even when there's destruction, even when there's punishment, even when there's something bad happens, Hashem always leaves a little piece, leaves something over. So over here too, the fact that his fields were wiped out entirely is an indication that it can't be his bad mazel. If it was simply his bad mazel, then it would have affected all of his fields and left something over. The fact that nothing was left over, he says, is proves not my bad mazel. And therefore, the choker in this case would not get a ptur. He would have to pay his chakirut, despite the fact that it was all the fields of the machkir. All right, now, third case. Nishtadfu kosto dav shel choker. In this case, all the fields of the sharecropper, right, the one who's paying the fixed price, dried out. Now, it could be fields, and most likely is that he owns some fields. Say he owns fields in the area, they also dried out. Plus, this field that he took on as an additional field also dried out. V'ishtodof ruva debaga. And there was a makat medina, meaning that everybody was affected. V'ishtodof nami habahadayu. And this field that he had taken on for a fixed pay price also dried out. My, what's the din here? Mi'amrin and came in the Yishtov Ruv the Bagel, since the Rove of the, either according to Rashi, the Bika, according to the Rambam, the Rove of the city, right, they dried out, Manchile, he gets his deduction. That's what the Mishnah says. When everybody's affected, you get your deduction. Oh, Dilma Kaven Didishtod of Kula Arate, since all the fields of this own, this person who's doing the sharecropping here, right, his, all of his fields were affected. Matze Amarle Mishum Lata Didachu. It's your bad luck. Da Mishtavtu Koso Dotecha. You had no field that escaped from this. If you had no field that escaped from this, it's clear that this is your bad luck. So Gemara says, Mistavra Damarle Mishum Latachu, that he could say to him, it's your bad luck. So the obvious question over here is, and the Gemara is going to ask this, is, right, there's an imbalance here. How come by the Choker, you could say it's your bad luck, and by the Machkir, we don't say it's his bad luck? So the Gemara says, am I? Hachanami Nemele, he should say to him too, Mishum Latai Didi, if it was my bad luck, right, who? Hava Mishar Li Purta, Hashem would have left me over a little bit, just like the Machkir can say, if it was my bad luck, something would have left over. The Choker can also argue, if it was my bad luck, there would have been something left over. Hava Mekayim B, Kinisharanu At Miharbe. Right, because he could have quoted the same puzzle from Yirmiyahu, there would have been something left over if it was my bad luck. So the Gemara says, no, why? Mishum da Amarlei, I have a chazit, lishdurei lach, if you were ra'oi to have something left for you, midei have mishtar lach min nafshach. Hashem would have left it in your fields, in your own personal fields, not in this field anyway. I mean that when we talk about bad luck, we're talking about something that is... And we would argue that when you have bad luck, Hashem doesn't take everything away. He leaves something over. Then he always leaves something over from your personal items, from your personal wealth. So again, in the case of the Choker, even if Hashem was going to leave, Hashem was going to leave something over, he would have left over in your personal fields, the fields that you owned, right? Not in this field. It's not going to be. So even if it was not, it's your bad mazel, and Hashem should have left something for you, it wouldn't have been left in this field anyway. It would have been left somewhere else. So that claim doesn't help you. On the other hand, right, the individual who's the machkir, when he says that Hashem would have left me over something, it could have been in this field. Why? Because the machkir really gets the produce. His payment comes out of this field. So Hashem could have left him over something in that field, and he would have gotten paid out of it. So the argument does not hold. The arguments are different for the different individuals. For the choker, for the one who's taking it, his bad mazel is affecting him, but he can't say that I will have something left over, because even if Hashem would leave him something over, it wouldn't be in this field. It would be somewhere else where it's his personal ownership. Whereas for the machkir, where the field is his personal ownership, then there could have been something left over. If there's going to be something left over, then it could have been in this field, and I could have gotten it out. So then he has a good claim to say, it can't be my bad luck here, because something would have been left. Right now, the Gemara is going to ask a question, our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when is it classified as a Makat Medina? Makat Medina is classified as Rov Bagel, or we saw according to Ulif, the fields, adjacent fields are affected, but that's what classifies as a Makat Medina. So Gemara says, Meitave, Haitash, Nat Shidafon, Virakon, Oshvi'it, Oyhayu, Shanim, Kishne Eliyahu, Eno Lelo Mina Minyan. So there's a din. This is in Vayikra. The Gemara is brought from Mishnah Erechim. It's a Gemara, it's the Torah writes it in Vayikra, right, Perchav Hay and Ikra, where the Torah says, if you sell a field, a steachuza, that is going to return in the Ovel. You sell the field and it returns in the Ovel. You're allowed to redeem the field. After you've sold it, you're allowed to redeem it based on the proration of the purchase price over the years that remain until the Ovel. But there is a minimum requirement. There's a minimum requirement of 2 years that the field must remain with the buyer. You're not allowed to redeem it till after 2 years. So the Mishnah says that what is classified for 2 years? The Mishnah says 2 years only count if what? If they are plantable good years. If it was a shnat shitafon, all the crops were dried out. Virakon or withered. O shvi'it, one of those years was shvi'it. O shanim kishne Eliyahu. Shanim kishne Eliyahu means what? There was drought, right? Nothing grew because there was no rain at the time of Eliyahu. If any of those factors applied, then those don't count towards the 2 years that allow you to go and be go elit. Eino lelo min aninyan. So when it says ketani, the Mishnah enumerates here four different scenarios. It says, and two of those scenarios are shidafon virakon. But the shidafon virakon is dumya de shanim kishne Eliyahu. There's some sort of equivalence between these these different problems, these four different issues. Mashne Eliyahu de lo avi tefuah klal. In the years of Eliyahu, there was no produce whatsoever. No rain, no produce. Nowhere. You couldn't find tefuah anywhere. Avhachanami de lo avi tefuah klal. When is it classified as a makat medina, according to this Mishnah? Is when you can't find anything. When you can find no grains, no planting. Now, the way we just defined the problem of makat medina in our Mishnah was rov bag or rov ir. That means that other places there was produce or there was production. It's just not in the city, just not in this this bika, this valley, this area where he planted, this plain where he planted. We don't insist that there be no production whatsoever in the whole area, in the whole world. That's not true. But the Mishnah in Erechin, right, which demands the 2 years, says that Makat Medina is only when, right, it's a only when it's sufficient to or enough to be Tvua Shokol Olam Kulo. All right, so now the Gemara says, Aval de'ika Tvua. If there is some sort of tefuah, salkale, right, then you can remove him. Meaning that those will count towards the 2 years. Velo kamrin en makat medinahi. We don't say that it's a makat medina and he doesn't count towards the 2 years. So Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Rav Nachman says, Rav Shani Hotam. Rav Nachman Vayitzel is different. You're comparing different cases with different requirements. Right? The requirement over here is a simple requirement of, all right, when is it his fault or his bad mazel versus when is it a problem for the whole area. Right? Over there, in the case of redeeming the land, where he has to wait a minimum of 2 years, the Pasuk says what type of 2 years they have to be. They says, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Mispar Shnei Tvuot Im Charlach. Right? So what is it called? Mispar Shnei Tvuot. That's being years, 2 years, or years that there are Tvuah, when there is production. So what is that? Im Charlach Shanim Shiesh Bahen, years in which there is Tvuah Ba'olam. As long as their ability to have production in the world, that's called a shnei tefuah. That's called a year of production, a year of plantable, productive years. So as long as it's a productive year, that is sufficient to be counted towards the 2 years. Over here, we're not looking at productive years. We're looking at, in this particular area, is this the choker's bad luck or bad mazel? Or is it the problem, or the problem is really a problem, a general problem for the whole area? So Amarle Ravashi, so Ravashi says, wait a minute. Larav Kahana, El Miata, what are you going to do with Shvit? What about Shvi'it? Talolo minayin minyan. Shvi'it should count. Why should Shvi'it count? Da'ika tvua b'chutz la'aretz. Shvi'it is not that it's not a plantable year. We're restricted from planting it, but nevertheless, it is still a plantable year. You can have production in that year. You go to chutz la'aretz, everybody plants. There's no problem with having production. So why shouldn't that count towards the 2 years? Because it is a plantable year. True, there's an Isur min ha-Torah to plant, but that's an exogenous variable. It doesn't make it not a shnei tvua. It is a year of tvua. Gemara says, the famous answer, Gemara says, Amalei, Shvi'it Afkata Damalkahi. Shvi'it, the way Rashi learns Shvi'it Afkata Damalkahi, Afkata Damalkahi means it's Gzeira of the king, means it's Gzeira Mi'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Rashi says, Afkata Damalkahi is a Melech Bitlo Milizor'ah. Shem says, no planting. It's as if it doesn't exist. For Jews, that's not classified as a year of tefuah. Because Hashem is gozer, therefore it's not classified as a shnei tefuah anymore, because Hashem says, nobody plants, this is not a planting year. This is not a year that is ra'ui for tefuah. Tosus, on the other hand, reads it a little different. He says, because there is an isur to plant, meaning that since a person, no person can plant beheter, right, then it's not classified as a shnei tevuah. Then it's not classified as a year of tevuah. As opposed to in other instances where you could plant in other locations and other places, there it was ra'oi. It was a year that was possible to plant, and you just, whatever for whatever reason, you couldn't do it, or something happened to your area that it couldn't work. But in the case of Shvi'it, there is no place that you could in this area ever get a shnei tevuah, because you just can't plant. Nobody can plant behet there during this period of time. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amalei Marzutri Brida Rav Mari Ravina, El Miata, Shvi'it Lo Taled Lo Mina Girua. Now, Shvi'it, now here we're discussing about the two minimum years, right, that he has to wait in order to be Goel. There is another halacha that's found there in Vayikra, which is what happens if a person is Makdish, a field to Hekdesh. Person is Makdish, a field to Hekdesh, a chuzat Hekdesh, he's allowed to redeem it from Hekdesh. What is the rule of redeeming for Hekdesh? He has to pay 50 shekel, 50 selah, lechomer se'orim. So for a fixed amount of land, you pay 50 shekel. How many years are there if he, for instance, took it in the first year of the Yovel, how many years are there from the time he takes it, productive years, until the Yovel? There are 49 years. So you have 50 sela into 49. How does that come out to? So that's one sela per year, one shekel per year, plus a pundion. One sela plus a pundion. Why? Because there are 48 pundionim in a sela. So if you have each year, if you paid a shekel plus a pundion, if you add them up, at the end of the time, you would have 48 shekel plus 49, you had 49 shekel plus 49 pundionim, which would get you to 50 shekel plus 1 pundion. The Gemara in Echron discusses why is there an extra pundion. You're really overpaying. That extra pundion is to pay for the changing, the money changing. That's to compensate for the cost of changing the money. So anyway, what's the payment? So if he comes, he's makdish the field, and he has 21 years, he has 28 years left to the Yovel. He comes to redeem it. So now we say to him, pay 28 shekel plus 28 pundionim. So now Gemara says, wait, why should he do that? During that 28 years, there's going to be at least 3, maybe even 4 Shemitahs. If there are 4 Shemitahs during that period of time, why do we count those days? He should only have to pay for the years that are productive. Why is he paying for years that he can't plant? Right? And the same would be true of the years beforehand. I mean, the years beforehand, when he's makdish to hekdesh, how come when we come out with the calculation, we take 50 shekel and we divide it over 49 years? We shouldn't do that. We should divide it over 42 years. We should subtract out the 7 shmitas that come in there. They should not be counted towards the productive years or the years that count towards the payment of the redemption of this field. So the Gemara says, Alamatznan, why do we have a Mishnah in Erechin that says, Notein selo pundion l'shana? He pays one sela into pundion per shana, which means that he's dividing by 49. If you were to divide by 42, you'd come out to about a sela and a dinar per year. The fact that he says sela and pundion, it's clear that he's talking about the years including the Shemitah. He says, Amalei, shani hotam. Wait a minute. There's a difference. The difference is that here, the demand by the minimum 2 years for redemption is shnei tevuot. They have to be years of planting, years of productive, right, plantable and productive years. By the case of hekdesh, it doesn't say shnei tevuot. It just says that they have to be years that the land is useful to you. Now, the land can be useful even in the Shemitah, even though you can't plant it. Why is that? You could lie out fruits to dry in the field. So the demand by hekdesh is utility. It has to have a year that the field has utility. Utility can come in different forms. It doesn't have to be plantable. It could also be that you use it to dry out the fruits. So when it comes to the calculation for the hekdesh, we say 49 years counts. Shemitah counts towards it. Whereas when it comes to the redemption, the minimum of 2 years before you redeem it, there the Torah makes specific. It's not just utility. It has to be specific shnei tevuot. It has to be plantable years. And that shemitah does not count towards plantable years. All right, so again, we have the 3 different areas. We have our Mishnah, we have the minimum 2 years, and we have the Hekdesh, and each of them have a different requirement. By the case of the minimum 2 years, it's Shnei Tevuot. They have to be plantable years. When it comes to our Mishnah, the issue is not about plantable years. The issue is about whether this individual is the one whose bad mazel caused the problem, or is it a more generic problem for the whole area? It's not about Shnei Tevuot. And the case of Hekdesh, again, is about the field's utility, that you can use the field each year. Usability of the field is not solely for planting. It could all be used for mishtachapere, to dry out fruits. There are other uses for the land. Right now, this is Shmuel going back and explaining before. Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shezara v'tzamcha v'chlach agav. The only time you can make a claim for a deduction is if you actually planted it, it grew, and then the locust came and ate it. Avalozara klal lo. If he never planted it, then he can't come make a claim and ask for a deduction. Here's a choker. He has a fixed payment per year, and he didn't plant at all. So now he says, look, give me a deduction. Look, everybody else's fields got affected, and our field didn't. Why darmalei? Ilu zarata, have a mekayim bi. Had you planted it, Hashem would have said about me, pasuk from Tehillim, lo yevushu, is talking about the tzaddikim, or those that are good, lo yevushu be'et ra'ah, they will not dry up at the bad times, or in the times of bad, ubimei ravon yisbo'u, and in the times of famine, they will be satisfied. Meaning that, who knows, Hashem might have protected my field. How do you know my field would have been affected by what was everybody else's field? Maybe I have special hashkacha pratit that entitles me that my field would have been saved. Now, had you planted it and it got and it was ruined, then I don't have that claim anymore because Hashem took it just like he took all the other fields. But if you never planted it, you can't make a claim for a deduction because you have no idea if Hashem would have protected me or taken care of me. So Meitir Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet says, what are you talking about? We have our, right, we had this earlier in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, we discussed it there. There we discussed it about Tchilato B'Pshia V'Sofo B'Ones, where there's a need, this is the famous sheet of Tosus, you need proximate cause, which is that the Pshia has to contribute to the Ones that happens afterwards in order for you to be Chayav. So we had this case, Ro'eh, Sheh Ro'eh. We had a shepherd who was out shepherding the sheep, Ve'Niach Hedro. He leaves his sheep out in the field, not being watched, Ubaleir, and he returns back to the city. That's a pshia. He's supposed to be watching the flock, and he comes back into the city. Ubaze'ev v'taraf, ubari v'taras. And a wolf comes, right, and a lion comes, and they take the sheep, they attack the flock, and they take from the flock, they eat the flock. So now, that is an ones, because these are wild animals that we don't demand of the ro'eh to protect against these animals. So therefore, he's really an ones in this case. Ein omrim, we don't say ilu hayasham hayam matzil. We don't say had he been there, he would have been able to save them. Ella omdim, make an assessment. Oto, we assess him. Im yachol atzil, had he been able to save the flock, then chayav. Im lav, he wasn't able to save the flock, patur. Vamai, based on what you just said now, why should that be true? Namele iavet hatam, had you been there, have a mikayim be. Maybe Hashem would have done for me. Gametari, gamadovi ka'avdecha. So this is referring to David HaMelech, if you remember. This is in Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin, when David HaMelech comes to the Marachot, Milchama, the Jewish legions that are fighting with Shaul, the kings out there. And Goliath is coming out each day to curse the people. And nobody wants to go fight him. So David shows up and tells Shaul, I'm ready to fight them. He knows, and then he says, I tell you, just like Hashem took care of me when I was taking care of my flocks, and that when the lion came and the bears came, I was able to kill them and I was able to protect the flock, which was something that was miraculous. Right? So too, Hashem will take care of me when I go to find Goliath. So this individual, why can't we say about this individual, about his flock, these people own the sheep, can say, listen, had you been out there, maybe Hashem would have protected our flocks and done miracles for you like he did for David HaMelech, and he would be able to kill the bears and the lions. Gemara says, Mishum d'amar leh, because what can the shepherd respond to him? The shepherd can say back to him, Iyavad chazit l'truchu shelecha nisa, had you been ra'oi for you to have a miracle happen to you, then you would have had a right. If you're going to have a miracle done, you would get a miracle just like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, which is the stories. Remember all the stories in the Gemara and Tanit of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, because over there it said the Machin Ize Dube Bekanayu. His goats used to come back with the bears on their horns. I mean, not only did he not have to protect them, the goats themselves were able to kill the bears and bring them back. So he says, listen, you want to be miracle man? And you want to claim that I should have been out there and everything, miracles that happened. You want to be a miracle man? Then have a real miracle happen. Have your goats bring back the bears on their horns. You don't have to have me out there to have me be a miraculous like David HaMelech. Have a real miracle happen. So the Gemara says, V'neimale, why can't the Baal HaBayit respond to him? Nehi delenisa rabo lo hava chazina. Maybe I wasn't roi for a big nace, a big miracle like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, where the goats themselves bring back the bears. Lenisa zuta chazina. But maybe for a smaller miracle, right, then I was ra'ui. Right, meaning I could have been, it would have been enough, meaning that if you were out there, Hashem might have saved you. They would have been scared of you. They wouldn't have come. That's a small miracle. Maybe I was right for that. Maybe I wasn't really for the big miracle of Chanina Mendoza, but maybe a small miracle like that. Gemara says Kasha. Gemara leaves that. That's a good question, right? We don't know how to, right, resolve this problem. Meaning that if we say that the Baal HaBayit can make a claim that had you planted it, it would have been protected, meaning that a miracle would have happened to me, then why can't he make the same claim by the goats or by the sheep, by the flocks? Why can't he make the same claim? The Gemara tried to differentiate in the cases. The Gemara is unable to differentiate the cases in Kasha. Therefore, it will be a problem for Shmuel's statement, right? How you reconcile between Shmuel's statement over here versus the Mishnah by the Ro'eh. Now, over here, this is where I mentioned to you, the Tosfos says, how come he can't say to him over here, look, I davened for a crop to be saved. You didn't plant. Had you planted, I had davened that my crops would have been fine and everything would have been good. So why can't he make that claim? This is where Tosfos makes the differentiation that a person can say, I davened for wheat, and you didn't plant wheat, and they would have saved me wheat. But if a person says, I davened for Hatzlacha, I say, whatever I plant, Shem, take care of me. That won't work. Then you can't make such a claim and say, oh, you didn't plant. Had you planted, my davening would have helped us. Then you can't make the claim. And only when you make a particular request can you make the claim, had you done what I said, then Shem would have protected me. But you can't use a generic tefillah and say, I would have been protected. And that's why the Gemara brings the alternative answer here, which is that had you planted it, maybe a miracle would have happened on my behalf. Right now, Mari continues. Tani chada. We have one brisa that says pam rishona ushniyazora. He has to plant it the first time, the second time ushlishit eno zora. if it got ruined, meaning that it got dried out, or something bad happened to the crops, one, twice, the third time he doesn't have to plant it. V'tanya idach, we have another brace that says, shlishit zora, he has to plant it a third time, urevit eno zora, on the fourth time he doesn't have to plant it. So Mar says, lo kasha, haka rabbi, harika rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Right? It's, one of them is like rabbi and rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is a machokas in chazaka. How do you establish a chazaka? We know that three establishes a chazaka, but does that mean that two is the chazakah, and the third time already you don't have to do it? Or is it three times in order to establish the chazakah, and then the fourth time you don't have to do it? And that's exactly the difference here. Haka Rabbi, the first brace is like Rabbi, the Amar betrays Zimnei Ami chazakah. Already he plants it twice and it fails, that's already a chazakah, and he doesn't have to plant it the third time. Haka Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, this is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, says you need three times to be a chazakah, the Amar betzlad Zimnei Ami chazakah. So you need to plant it three times and fail for it to be a chazakah, and then only on the fourth time are you permitted not to plant it. Now from the continuation of the Gemara here, it sounds like this happened in 1 year, that he replanted it a number of times, right, and it failed each time, and therefore he doesn't have to plant it and try. He doesn't have to keep trying. He has a limit on how many times he has to try before it's a failure. Although you could read the Gemara here to refer to a number of years, meaning that he tries 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then it keeps failing. That already establishes a chazakah that these fields are going to fail. So it's not clear from the Gemara. Gemara does not determine whether it's years or a single year. Again, for the continuation of the Gemara, it sounds like it's a single year, although, to be honest with you, to say two or three times in a single year sounds like excessive amount of times that we have to replant. Not the Gemara seems here, we'll see in a second, seems to say you could replant a number of times. So maybe that's what it's referring to. I don't, it's not clear, again, from the Gemara. Now, the next case. Amar Ish Lakish, lo shanu el shezara v'tzamcha v'achla chagav. Shlakish says he has to plant it, it has to grow, and then eaten by the locust, aval zara v'lo tzamcha, if he plants it, and it doesn't grow at all, matzi amar le balkarka, kol yamei zera, zara la v'azil. So if he plants it, and it never came out of the ground, or something happened that it never grew, then he doesn't have a claim. Why? Because he said he'll go plant again. The planting season is a long period. It's not one small period. It's a whole period of time. So if you planted, happened to plant early and it didn't work out, he can claim to him, look, so you planted early. Had you planted later, it would have been fine. As long as we're still within the planting season, the Baal Bayit can say, go back and plant again. He doesn't have any tour because it got ruined. Right now, on the other hand, look, if there's no other option, I mean, there's no ability to plant anymore, then he is off the hook. But again, if it planted and it grew, and then it's ruined, then there's nothing to talk about. Because he did, he planted it, it grew up already, came out of the ground, and then there was a makat medina. But if it's still within the planting season, it says that's not enough. He says you still have an opportunity to replant. You've got to replant. Now, Gemara says, v'ademat. How long? What is the planting season? How do we define the planting season? All right, I'll explain this Gemara to you. I can't say that I understand it totally, but I can do the job. I'll explain it to you, and then we'll take it for at face value what it is. Amar Rav Papa, Adu Arisim Midabro. It's from when the times that the sharecroppers come in from the fields. V'kaima kima arishayu. And when they're coming in from the fields, the mazel or the constellation of kima is above their head. Right now, the constellation of kima, according to Rashi, is Zanav Tleh. It's the tail. The constellation of kima is found in the 12 signs of the zodiac. Right, there are 12 signs of the zodiac. The first sign, which is the sign for Nisan, is Tleh. Right, so Tleh, the tail of Tleh is where the constellation of Kima is found. Tosfos mentions the Gemara Brachot. It's not exact. Rashi is not perfect, but he says close enough. Tosfos says that it is the tail of the Tleh. Now, what's the story here? So the story over here is that the 12 constellations, each one of the constellations has a month in which it works. I mean that it becomes the constellation at that month. Why is it the constellation of that month? Because the zodiac signs, each one of the zodiac signs is in the center or up above for 2 hours a day. If you take the 24 hours a day, the signs of the zodiac rotate through the earth. Now again, you know, in a modern-day sense, it's very hard to understand this. They believed that it was the Earth was stationary and the sky was moving, was rotating. So when they talked about the constellations or the 12 areas moving, they were looking at this, thinking of the sky rotating and moving. Now, it could be true today, even if you explain it, that the Earth is rotating, so it looks like it's rotating, but nevertheless, the way they're explaining it, all the Rishonim are going to explain it, that they think the sky is moving. So now, when the sky rotates, the zodiac rotates, that means that in each month, whichever sign of the zodiac it is, that zodiac sign is there at sunrise at 6 o'clock in the morning on a perfect day. At sunrise, that zodiac sign rises with the sunrise and it lasts for 2 hours. The first 2 hours of the day are that zodiac sign. So you know that if the mazel of Nisan is Tleh, That means at sunrise, at the first 6 hours, at 6 o'clock in the morning, Tleh will be, the zodiac will rise, and for the will be Meshamesh. It will be present for the next 2 hours, that part of the constellation. And then it will continue and continue till 12 hours later when it will set. And 12 hours later, that zodiac sign will set and be gone from the sky and then be below the earth. According to their understanding that the sky is rotating, right? Then it will rise on the eastern side, right? And then it rotates over the earth, and then after 12 hours it disappears from the horizon, and then it's underneath the earth, and it comes back again. That happens, that's true, of the 12 zodiac signs. Now, what is the sign for Adar? What's the zodiac sign for Adar is, right? Dag. Right, Dag? Fish is the sign for Adar. So therefore, in the month of Adar, what would rise at the sunrise at 6 o'clock in the morning, the first constellation to come up would be the Dag, the fish. All right, that's the first thing we need to know. The second thing we need to know is, when do the workers come in? And this happens to be a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, and therefore they come out with different answers over here. Rashi says that we're talking about a case which is 10 hours into the day. In the 10th hour of the day, the Arisim, the workers, come in. So if you start at 6 in the morning, that's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they're coming in. The workers are coming in from their work at the end of the 10th hour. Now, we want to know, when at that time period, right, when is, in that, what we're talking about then, we want to know what is in the center of the sky at that moment, if you're on the 10th hour of the day. So I'm going to, well, I'll help you. We start in Adar. If Adar is the, right, is the month, or the current month, then what is the mazel that is rising at the 6 o'clock in the morning? The mazel that's rising at 6 o'clock in the morning is the dagim, right, is the dag. Now, if you take dag, we know that each mazel is there for 2 hours. What's after the mazel of dag in the zodiac is the mazel of tleh. Right, so 2 hours later, the mazel of tleh will rise, right, at 8 o'clock in the morning. The mazel of tleh will now start to rise. Now, Rashi just told us that 10 hours into the day is when they come in. So if I take 10 hours from 6 o'clock in the morning, right, that means that at 6 hours into the day, the mazel is then at the center, right, the center of the day. At chatzot, there, the middle of the sky, is that mazel. So 6 hours after mazal dag rises, it's in the center of the sky, right? At the 10th hour, right, where is mazal dag? Mazal dag's moved over. Now, at the 8th hour into the day, which mazel now is in the center of the sky? Tleh. Tleh, which is the next mazel after Dag, is in the center of the sky after 8 hours, because it's 2 hours behind the one of Dag. That's at 8 hours. Now, at 10 hours, we move, Tleh moves over, and the next mazel rises after Tleh. Now, at that point in time, the new mazel is coming in. What is left at the Tleh, the Zanav, the tail of Tleh, is found where? It's found, is found in the center of the sky. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that we're talking about in the month of Adar, at the 10th hour, that's when Zanav Tleh Kima is found in the center of the sky, because that's in the tail of Tleh, and that's the center of the sky in that entire time. So that's what Rashi says. When is the planting season until? The planting season lasts until Adar. Until Adar, when it reaches that point in time, that's considered planting season. So if anything happens to the crop before then Baal HaBayit can say to him, plant again. Keep planting, because you're still within the planting season. Tosfos disagrees. And why does Tosfos disagree? We just had this in our Masechta. When do Poalim come home? What's the din of Poalim? We said that in the morning, the Poalim have to come out on the Cheshbon of the Baal HaBayit. They can travel after the sun rises. But when they go home at night, they travel home on their own cheshbon, which means that they have to stay by the Baal HaBayit till when? Till Tzeita Kol Chavim. And Tosfos says, there's no way at 10 hours into the day that it's Tzeita Kol Chavim. So what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, no, the Rashi is wrong, but it's really at Tzeita Kol Chavim. The problem with it being Tzeita Kol Chavim is that we need then, if you go 2 hours later, for instance, say 6 o'clock was Tzeita Kol Chavim at that time of year, then we need 2 hours later, guess what? The Tzanav Tleh is not in the middle of the sky in Adar. When would the Tleh be in the middle of the sky? In Shvat. Why? Because that's 1 month before. 1 month before means that Tleh rises 4 hours later instead of 2 hours later. So if it rises 4 hours later, then in Shvat, at 6 p.m., Tleh, the tail of Tleh, will be in the center of the sky. So according to Tosfos, this is in Shvat. And according to Rashi, it's in Adar. But that's the end of the planting season according to both of them. All right. I'm explaining it to you. You have to take it at the face value of what we're explaining here. In the end, the conclusion is Adar and Shvat. But how we get there is based on the zodiac, their understanding of these movements. And again, I can explain it, but I don't know if I have a total grasp to tell you exactly how this is working. All right, Gemara says, Meitave, is that really true? Rabbi Shimon Gomlil, Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer, V'chein Ayah Rabbi Shimon Menasi Omer, Kidvarav. That when is the planting season? Right? The Pasuk in Noach says, Hashem promises to Noach and his children that there will be six seasons, and they will not stop. What are those six seasons? Zera v'katzir, right? Choref kayitz, kor v'chom. Those are the six seasons. When are those six seasons? So, this is the first opinion. Chatzi Tishrei, half of Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, the whole month of Cheshvan, v'chatzi kislev zera. That's the planting season. The planting season is half Tishrei, whole month of Mar Cheshvan, and half of Kislev. Chatzi Kislev, half of Kislev, Tevet, v'chatzi Shvat, Choref. That's the winter. Now the winter, Rashi calls that, and again, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that this is not the coldest part of the year. The coldest part of the year is coming up, which is the Kor. So this part is the Choref, Rashi calls it Sof Stav. It's the main area of the fall, the end of the fall. All right, now, Chatzi Shvat, half of Shvat, Adar, v'chatzi Nisan, and half of Nisan, Kor. That's the cold time. Chatzi Nisan, half of Nisan, Iyar, the whole month of Iyar, and Chatzi Sivan, Katzir, that's the harvest. Chatzi Sivan, Tammuz, and Chatzi Av, which we're in right now, right? Up until Tu B'Av, that was Wednesday, that was the Kayetz. That's the time they leave out to dry out the fruits and the vegetable, the fruits out in the fields. That's why it's called Kayetz. Kayetz is from the fact that they used to dry everything out in the fields. Chatzi Av, Elul, Chatzi Tishrei Chom. That's what we're in now. We just crossed over into this, which is the latter half of Av. Elul and Chatzi Tishrei, Chom, are the hottest seasons. And that's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Shulei Kaita are hotter than the Kaita itself. The end of the summer season is hotter than the summer itself. Right, so the end of August, right? That time period in general is the hottest period of the time. So now that's problematic. But let's go even the next opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Monemi Tishrei. Rabbi Yehuda used to count from Tishrei. I mean, he didn't do these half month things. He said Zera is Tishrei and Cheshvan, and then 2 months. Each 2 months was a season. Rabbi Shimon Monemi Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Shimon says it starts from Cheshvan. The planting season is Cheshvan Kislev, and then every 2 months the season changes. Now, Man Mekel Bikuhu. Who's the biggest Mekel here? Who makes the planting season the latest of all of these? So now, Rabbi Yehuda's planting season is over after Cheshvan. The Tanakama, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, is that the planting season over after Chatzi Kislev. According to Rabbi Shimon, who's the biggest Mekel here, the planting season ends at the end of Kislev. Right? Mana Mekel Behug, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the most Mekel, and he says the planting season ends at the end of Kislev. Now, according to Tosfos, it's Shvat. According to Rashi, it's Adar, based on when we said Kima being in the top of the sky, in the middle of the sky. So how could you claim that the planting season is all the way until Shvat and Adar when we see here that even in the Mishnah, which has three different opinions, the biggest Mekel says that the planting season is over at the end of Kislev. Gemara says, V'kulei hai lo kamar. Nobody says it goes that far. Gemara says, no, Okasha. Hadakabla mine b'charife. Hadakam mine b'afile. Depends on the crops. There are certain crops that get planted early. There are other crops that get planted later. They are the charife, charif. Right, from the strong, but they're things that grow fast and quickly. They have an earlier planting season, and then they're afile, the late planting season. I'll read you what Rashi says. What's early planting and late planting? Rashi says, b'charife is chitin v'shifon, right, that are wheat and rye, hanizrim b'tchilat ha-choref. They're planted at the beginning of the winter season. Then afile, the late ones, are the so'rim v'kidnit, are the barley and the legumes, hanizraim ba'adar, that are planted late in Adar. Now, I'll tell you that there are a number of problems to me. I didn't see anybody comment on this, but there are a number of problems with Rashi. The first is, what is the first korban brought in the terms of the korban sibur? When is the minchat ha'omer is brought on when? Tetzayin b'nisan, right, the second day of Pesach. What's it brought from? Minchat ha'omer is brought from seorim, barley. When is the, at the end of the Minchat Omer, they bring, right, the Shtei Alechem. 49 days later, they bring, or 50 days later, they bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot. What are the Shtei Alechem made out of? Chitim. That's when you can bring Chitim to the Mikdash. So Sorim are first, and then Chitim are later. The way Rashi is claiming is the Chitim are planted earlier, and then the Sorim later. You could answer that the harvest is different, right? That even though they plant them later, they harvest much quicker. The other problem I have in Rashi is an explicit pasuk in Va'era. The pasuk in Va'era in talking about or speaking about the Makav Barad. In the Makav Barad, it says that not all the crops were destroyed. Only portion of the crops are destroyed. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says in Va'era, if you want to look it up, it's in Shmot Yud Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph Lamed Bet. It says Va'pishta Va'giv'o Nukata. What? The Pishta and the Giv'o were destroyed. Ki asura aviv va'pishta Giv'o. So Pishta and Pishtan, right? The flax and the barley were destroyed. Why? Because they come out early. And they were already in their stalks. They were already hardened stalks. So when the barad came down, it destroyed them. V'hachita v'kusemet. The wheat, right? And the, I don't know what the kusemet here, it could be spelt, right? I don't know if that's the proper interpretation. Lo nuku. They were not destroyed, the barad. Ki afilotena. They are the late planted ones. So the pasuk says that what's the late planting and the late to come out, to emerge, is the chita. The early to emerge, they were already hard, their stalks were already hard, was the sorah is early. So it sounds like the sorah is early and the chita is late. So again, both from the Minchat Omer and the Chitim, and from this Pasuk of Va'era, it seems to me that it should be the opposite of the way Rashi is explaining it here. Rashi is explaining the chita is early and the sorah is late. It seems to me from the Pasukim and from the, you know, the Minchat Omer and the Shtei Lechem, it should be the other way around. That the Surah is early and the Chita is late. If anybody sees anything, I'd love to hear about it. It's just something that bothered me when I was reading Rashi's explanation of the Gemara over here. All right. So for the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if he accepts it for money, we saw in the Mishnah, the Ben Kach Ben Kach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no claim of Makat Medina. So how Gavra, the Kabil Ara the Mizra'ah, this individual accepted land to plant in it, he was going to plant garlic in this field, but it was on the banks of the river of Naramalkas Abel, Bezuze, and he agreed to do this for money. He was going to pay a fixed monetary amount to the individual, and he was going to have to plant garlic on the banks of the river. Istaker Naramalkas Abel, they dammed the river. They plugged the river up top, and therefore no water came down. The river was diverted much higher up, and now no water was coming down. Atakame de Rav, they came to Rav, they asked him, what's the din here? Does he have to pay for his chakirut over here? Amalei, Naramalkas Abel, lo avid de miskar. Generally, the Naramalka is not dammed. Makat Medinahi. It's a Makat Medina. If it's a Makat Medina, that's a ptur. It's a ptur for choker because it's a Makat Medina. Zil nachile. Go reduce the pricing. Take it down. Or really, truthfully, over here, it's probably become potur because he can't plant anything. There was nothing could be planted or it didn't work. Probably not going to be able to do anything because there's no water there. Right? It's Amrulei Rabban on the Rav. Hanan Tnan. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says when you use it for cash, when you're paying in cash, there is no deduction. If you're paying in cash, no Makat Medina, there's no relevance of Makat Medina over here. Rava, how are you saying Makat Medina is affecting this case? Amar lo, late the chashtle, the Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody worries about the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's money. Chakirut means fixed price. Kablanut is not fixed price. If you're a choker and something happens that is, right, affects the entire area and it's not particular to you, then you get a ptur, or not. You get some sort of deduction or reduction in the pricing that you have to negotiate, some reduction in the pricing. So over here too, when the water goes away, vegetables need a lot of water to grow. And the fact that he's planting on the banks of the river is because he was assuming that the water, and it would be a great area that was very moist. And the fact that the river's not there affects everyone in that area. Everybody in the area is affected by the fact that the river's not there. It wasn't his bad mazel, it's a Makat Medina. And therefore he gets a ptur that he gets a deduction or reduction in his chakirut. Okay, next Mishnah. Hamekabel stade mechaviro basara kur chitim l'shana. He says, I'm going to take the field, and I'm going to pay you 10 kur chitim each year. Vilakta. Then it gets ruined. I mean, the field gets hurt. There's something happens that the field doesn't produce the best quality wheat. Notein lo mitocha. He has to give it. The chakirut, the idea of chakirut, even though you're not paying a percentage, it's still a fixed amount each year, but it's a fixed amount out of the field. So even though the wheat, the quality of the wheat in this field isn't great, he pays them out of the field because that's part of the deal. Ayuchite yafot. What happens if it was a super crop? They were exceptional quality in the field. Lo yamar lo. Then the choker can't say to him, Harei li lokech min ashuk. He can't say to him, listen, I'm going to go pick up some wheat for you in the shuk, and I'm going to keep this good, extra good quality stuff. Notein lo mitocha. in both directions, meaning in either instance he has to pay out of the field. Meaning it's from the field itself, whether it's better than expected, worse than expected, he pays the machkir out of the field. Again, we ask the question of Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that the Mishnayot after the first two are only about a choker or an aris. The answer is this is a case of choker, because an aris, right, it's this case by an aris is not even relevant, right? Because aris pays a percentage. Of course he's paying out of the field no matter what the quality is, because it's all about percentages. The choker is paying a fixed price. You would have thought maybe he doesn't have to pay out of the field. The answer is yes, he pays out of the quality of the crop no matter what the quality is, better or worse. How gavra dekabil aro la safsata. He took the field and he was supposed to plant grass or hay in there for animal feed, right? Then bikur desare, right, that he had to pay him bikure desare, right? The fixed price for praying this was that he's going to pay suarim, which is obviously not what he's planting in the field. Avda saftata, he went ahead and he planted hay. And as Rashi says, that the Gemara says, another place is 30 days for hay to grow, for shachat to grow, to be enough for the animals to eat. Then, v'charsha, he plowed it, v'zara, and he planted again, sare. And then he plants barley. So he was supposed to be planting hay all the way through this field, and instead he plants hay first, and then he plants the barley, v'laku, and then they got affected, they were destroyed. Laku hanisare, they were destroyed. Shalcha Rav Chaviva Misura, so the question came before Rav Chaviva or Rav Chanina Misura, the Prat, the Kamei de Ravina. They sent the Ravina to ask him, what's the din here? Ki hai gav namai. In this case, what's the din? Ki lakta noten lo mitocha adami. When he has a bad quality crop, the sorim didn't grow so well, he can pay him the kur sorim out of this bad sorim that are planted here. Although, or maybe not. Meaning because the deal was that he was supposed to be planting hay and grass, and meantime, he wasn't supposed to be planting sorim. So when he had to pay him sorim, he's supposed to pay him from other stuff that's not from this field. So Amalei mi domi, since these cases are not even comparable, our Mishnah in this case are not comparable. Hotam lo avda ara shlichuta demora. Over there, in the case of the Mishnah, the land doesn't do what it was planted to do. It was planted with sorim, he's supposed to plant sorim, and it doesn't grow sorim. So therefore, the balabayit also suffers because he gets out of the field. Hacha, in our case over here, avdara shlichuta demara. When he planted grass, it grew perfectly. He wasn't supposed to plant barley. Now he plants barley, it doesn't work out. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. The land did what it was supposed to do, and he plants grass. The Gemara points out, that doesn't matter. Even if he planted barley first, and then the grass would be the same din, because he's only supposed to plant grass. If he plants grass, it'll work. If he doesn't plant grass, it doesn't work. Then we can't say to him, listen, you have to take whatever quality comes out of the field. The field wasn't supposed to be planted with barley. Right? Ho gavra, the kabel pardes michavre, ba'aser dane chamra. He took a vineyard from his friend for 10 barrels of wine per year. Then, takif, the barrels of wine, after they had the barrels of wine, they turned into vinegar. Before he paid him, the barrels that had the wine in them turned to vinegar. So, takif ha'u chamra, that wine went to vinegar. Sover Rav Kahana le'meimar, haino masnisen. Rav Kahana thought, that's our Mishnah. Lakta noten lo mitocho. If something goes bad, you get whatever goes bad out of the field. So, amalei Rav Ashi, midomi, you can't compare the cases. Hotam la'avda arish lichuta da. In our Mishnah, the land doesn't grow what it's supposed to grow. It doesn't grow the quality that it's supposed to grow. Hacha avda arish lichuta. Over here, the land did everything it was supposed to do. It was supposed to grow grapes. They were good grapes. And it pressed for wine. The fact that it turned to vinegar afterwards is an after the fact that has nothing to do with the land itself. And therefore, he doesn't have any right to say it's your problem. That's bad mazel. Vinegar is your bad mazel because it had nothing to do with the field. It wasn't a contribution of the field. And therefore, you don't get any deduction. You're going to have to go buy wine from somewhere else and provide the 10 barrels of wine to him. Umode Ravashi. Ravashi agrees. Be inve de kodum. If you have grapes that rot, the grapes rot or have worms in them. Or b'sadesh lakta b'omreah. Or when, after he harvested the field, the grains were out there drying in the field, that both of those are still classified as being a problem of lakta sadeh. Because even though they're not attached to the field anymore, they're still part of the production of the field. They're still connected to the field. And therefore, if something goes wrong, that you do, you could say to him, take from whatever, the rotten grapes, or you can take from the bad stuff that was drying out of the field, you get that. That he can say, I can pay you out of that, because that is part of the field. Once it leaves the field, and once it's now being put into processing to be its final cut, there you can't make that claim anymore. Okay, next Mishnah. All right, the Mishnah says, "Hamekabel sadeh mechaveru lizara sorim lo yizra'ena chitim." Person takes a field to plant it with barley, he can't plant it with wheat. Chitim yizra'ena sorim. On the other hand, if he takes it for wheat, he is permitted to plant it with barley. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can't change. Tvua. If he had taken it for grain, he may not plant legumes. Then kinit if it is legumes, yizrena tvua. Then he can plant it for grains. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel oser. Right, Rabbi Shimon says that you may not change. All right. So now Rashi over here in discussing the Mishnah says that when it comes to chitim versus sorim, chitim do much, as we saw earlier in the Gemara, chitim do much more damage or to drain the land much more than sorim. Therefore, if he permitted you to plant chitim, right, then he can plant sorim because sorim are lighter on the field, and that's why he's permitted. On the other hand, if you only permit him to plant barley, you can't go plant chitim because then he's doing something that is beyond what the Baal HaBayit expected, to diminish or degrade the land. So therefore, he's permitted to downgrade from chitim to sorim because the sorim will do less damage to the land. On the other hand, he can't go from sorim up to chitim because chitim will cause more damage than expected. And the same thing is true with legumes and grains, meaning that if he's given permission for grains, he is not permitted then to plant legumes because legumes are something that will take much more out of the field. On the other hand, if he was given permission for the kinit, then he can plant grains because the grains will do less damage or take less out of the field. So he's allowed to change to diminish the damage to the land, but he cannot upgrade to the point where he causes more diminishment to the land. Now Rashi over here says that this is only true by chakranut. I mean, again, we have to ask the question that Rav Papa says, that these mishnayot are only either about a choker or a kablan. So Rashi says this is clearly talking about a choker over here, because the choker pays a fixed percentage. But Rashi says, di bekablanut, if it was talking about a percentage payer, meaning a sharecropper, hamrina tichosh ara v'lo lichosh mara. We said earlier in the Gemara that a person will say, I'd rather my land gets deteriorated and I don't lose money. I'd rather that you do the better crop or the bigger crop and make more money than worry about the diminishment of the land. And the fact that he upgraded to wheat, the Baal HaBayit is also benefiting from that because he's going to get a percentage of that. He's going to get a percentage of that field. He's going to get a percentage of that production. So he's going to be an equal beneficiary of the upgrade to chitim, even though it's going to hurt his land. But we said above that Baal HaBayit doesn't care about the hurting of his land. He'd rather make more money than worry about the hurting of his land. That's the way Rashi learns it. The simpler way to learn it, and this is the way that the Ramban Nachmanides learns it, which is that no. That for choker, he's allowed to change because he pays a fixed amount of whatever crop. So if he downgrades and hurts the land less, as long as he provides what he promised to provide, then it's fine. On the other hand, to upgrade, he's not allowed because he can't go and hurt the land of the individual. By a kablan, the Ramban says he may not change at all, because since the Baal HaBayit is getting a percentage of the production, then he wanted chitim, or he wanted seorim, that he cared about getting that percentage out of the field, but a percentage of that crop. And therefore, a kablan may not at all change. So as opposed to Rashi, again, both agree that this mishnah is about a choker. The question is, what's the din by a kablan? Rashi says the din by a kablan, a sharecropper, is that you may change because that benefit will accrue both to you and to the Baal HaBayit. And Ramban says, by kablan, you may not change at all, because since the Baal HaBayit specifically asked you and he's getting his percentage or payment out of the field, then when he asked for chitim or he asked for sorim, then it's particularly chitim and sorim. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, my time at the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says here that it's asur? So dichtiv, because he says, I'll tell you what the reason is. It says, Sherit Yisrael yasu avla v'liyudah bruchazav, that Jews have to speak the truth. If they make an agreement, if they have spoken something, made an agreement with the Balim, they have committed to do something, then they have to keep their word. So over here, if you said you're going to keep chitim, or you said you're going to do sorim, you got to stick to your word. You got to uphold your commitment, and you got to plant what you said you're going to plant. If you change, that's a violation of your word, and that's not proper. I mean, as opposed to the Chachamim would say, we look at the issue as a monetary issue, which is, okay, true, he changed, and he's going to still pay the Baal HaBayit what he promised to pay him, but nevertheless, his changing is not it's not to the detriment of the Baal HaBayit, so why should the Baal HaBayit care? Shimon says, well, we should care because you're not allowed to go back on your commitments. You made a commitment, you got to keep your commitment. Where it says, wait a minute, we see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in other cases, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel there doesn't make this demand on an individual. And what's that? Migvat Purim the Purim. We collect for Purim. When we collect for the Anima Purim, when we collect for Purim, we don't check. We don't ask questions. We give it out. Whoever needs, we give out for Purim. On the other hand, when the Ani gets money for Purim, he has to spend it on Purim. He has to use it for food and for items that are on Purim. And he's not allowed to change it to buy a shoelace for himself Elim ken hitneh b'mamad anshayir, right? Unless he specifically makes a tnai in front of the elders of the city, meaning those that are, we call them the board of directors, those that oversee the monies of the city that Stakad is given out, unless he made a specific condition that he's allowed to use it for this purpose, he may not do so. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. Shamar Mishum Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Shkumel may kill. Rabbi Shkumel says, no problem, you can change. Rabbi Shkumel's opinion that even though you've changed the monies, even though they were given to you for Purim, if you change them, it's not a problem. Why? Because he says that people are not makpid when you change and you don't lose anything. So it's over here. The Ani needs something. So here he changed it. The Baal Bayit does not lose anything. It's still tztaka that's going to the Ani. And if he says, if he changes it and it doesn't hurt the Baal Bayit, that's fine. So why can't we say the same thing over here? If he changes here between Chitim and Sorim, it doesn't hurt the Baal Bayit. It actually helps the Baal Bayit. So why should the Baal Bayit care? Why should it matter? So obviously that can't be the reason that you have to uphold your word or keep your commitments. So that can't be the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel over here, like Rabbi Chista says, but rather, Amar Abayi, time of the Rabbi Shimon, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon? Kimar, like Mar. Now Mar for Abaye, Abaye's Rebbe, which was Rav Nachman, was Rabbah Bar Nachmeni, and Rabbah brought him up in his house, that Abaye was brought up in the house of Rabbah, and therefore he calls Rabbah Bar Nachmeni Mar. So it's Kedemar, Damar Mar, Haiman de Nechele de Titvor Are, someone who wants his land, this is according to Rashi, if according to Rashi, Tosos and Rashi argue over here, I'll explain you Rashi first, then we'll come to Tosos, the person who wants to ruin his land, Lizara Shata Chite Vishata Sare, plant 1 year wheat, and then plant 1 year barley. Shata sheti v'shati arev, or plant 1 year horizontally across the field and then 1 year vertically across the field. I mean, that change longitudinally, latitudinally, you change the direction of the planting on the field. If you alternate years doing that, it ruins the field. V'lo amran, that's only true el delo kariv v'tani. That's only if you don't plow twice. Meaning that once twice, aval kariv v'tani, if you plow once at the end of the harvest and once again before you plant, late lamba, it doesn't get affected. So now, what's the problem with Shimon Gamliel? The Baal Habayit told him, I want you to plant chitim, or he tells him, I want you to plant sorim. Why? According to Rashi, because maybe the previous year he planted chitim. So he wants you to plant chitim again so it doesn't ruin his land. If you go and plant sorim, true, in relationship to chitim, it's not good, it's better. But in relationship to if you switch years, according to Rashi, that ruins your land. So now if you planted chitim last year and now you come to sorim, even though, yes, versus chitim, it ruins the land less in that particular year, but because of the history of that land, when you have chitim and then sorim, that's going to be even worse. It's going to ruin his land. So therefore, the Baal Bayit asked for something particular. You need to listen because you don't know the history of this land. You don't know what the Baal Bayit wanted. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos asks the obvious question over here, which is that we know from everywhere else in the world, something called crop rotation. Crop rotation is something that protects the field. That's exactly how you preserve the field, is by rotating the crops. And that's what Tosfos says over here. He says, we see from all of the Adama, from all farmers over here, that crop rotation is the way to preserve your field and to keep your field. So he says that Rashi read the Gemara wrong, and then when it says over here, the Gemara says, if a person plants his field, wants his field to tidvor, Rashi meant tidvor means that it's going to be ruined, meaning bura, bur, means empty, or not planted. If you want to ruin your field so you can't plant that anymore, you'll plant alternating years. So it says, no. What does it mean, tidvor? Tidvor means as if you left it fallow for 1 year. Right? The ways to make a field more productive is either crop rotation, or the other way to make your field work is to have the field be left fallow, plant every other year. That will cause it to be also to help the field to regenerate and then plant afterwards. So Tosfos says, what does it mean over here? So Tosfos says, that's the memory over here of Rabbah Bar Nachmeni. Rabbah is saying that if you rotate your crops, it's as if you left your field fallow. It's as if you left it empty for a year. I mean, that's good for it's good for the field to alternate crops. And by alternating crops, it'll be as if you left it fallow for 1 year, and you'll get the same benefits as even being fallow. And then he'll explain this case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's the problem with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? He says, maybe the individual planted chitim last year, and then you're coming here and you're going to plant sorim. So that would be fine. But what happens if he planted sorim last year? If he planted barley last year, and now he comes and tells you, plant chitim, plant wheat, and you come along and you plant sorim. Again, relative to chitim, that's a better situation. But, no, in the big picture, it's worse for him, because he planted barley last year. If you plant wheat this year, that'll keep his field more productive. If you plant sorim, even though relative to wheat in this particular year, it's easier on the field, it's going to be hard on the field, because now you planted barley 2 years in a row, and now you don't have crop rotation. So we'll stop over here.